It is the 11th of September, day 28 of the trip, and I'm in Kendall with Winnie.
Yeah!
I can't believe it! Yes! Oh, a long time coming.
I know, right? It's happening. It has happened.
It has happened. And welcome to the Extraordinary Ordinary You podcast. My name's Frankie, and this is the podcast from a 3,000 kilometre cycle journey around the UK, where I spoke to women and non-binary folk older than myself about their adventurous lives. This is season 3, where I pedal through the lakes, up to Glasgow and across to Edinburgh. This is episode 3, where I have the absolute honour of chatting to Winnie in her shop, I Love Me Most, on a very wet day in Kendal. Winnie was a joy to chat to and had me smiling and laughing the whole time. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. So, Winnie, to start with, for people that don't know you at all and don't know who you are, could you just give us a snapshot of who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm Winnie, yes! Anyway, yeah, I'm Winnie, I'm 41 years old, not young. I live in the Lake District, but I'm originally from Congo in Central Africa, and I've been in England for over 20 years, yeah, a long time ago.
What do you do?
Well, what do I do? First of all, I'm a mother, let me not just forget. I'm a mother of two beautiful daughters, and I've got my own business. I run I Love Me Most Boutique in Kendal. It's a space where I want women to feel good about themselves. You know, if you're having a bad day, I want you to come and feel good, choose some clothes and just feel good about yourself, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, and I've had a business for now 3 years.
Tell me more about starting your business.
Oh my gosh, it's a long story. I'm not going to bore you. But basically, many years ago, I didn't have a career. I didn't do well at school. I was a single mother. And I was getting to the stage where I'm like, I need to do something with my life. But before coming to the Lakes, I was living in Manchester. And I left Manchester for some, you know, crazy reason. I found the Lakes was better for us. Yeah, I was raising the girls and I realised that I needed to do something myself. And I started selling online. I started selling on eBay, like literally secondhand stuff. Pick up secondhand stuff here and there, and then they'll sell on eBay. And eventually I was selling, but I got to realise that I was getting lonely because the kids would go to school and all I did was sell on eBay. Like, I didn't see anybody. I was just like working. And I thought to myself, this is, it's getting lonely. I mean, you email people and things like that, but it's not the interaction. And then I thought, oh, maybe, look for a shop. Maybe I could get a shop. And then I didn't want to tell anybody, but at first I didn't want to tell anybody. And then I was having a chat with my friend. I've shared it with my daughters. And I was having a talk with my friend, and my daughter just blurted out to my friend, and I was not ready for it. She said, "Mommy's looking for a shop." And my friend's like, "Oh, are you?" And this was like a secret. I didn't want anybody to know because I didn't know if I was ready for a shop. And my friend said, "Why get the shop? Maybe not get the shop straight away because you don't have the experience. Why don't you try the council's running a pop-up initiative? Why don't you try the pop-up initiative? I'll send you the..." Because luckily for me, my friend works with the council as well. So it was an amazing idea because the pop-up initiative was, I was here for 4 weeks. So I brought my stock in, sold it for 4 weeks, and then saw how, it was going. And I did it 3 times. So I went, had the first slot, and then I came back the second slot, and then the fourth one, the third one, and the final one, I realized this could work. I could, I could make this work. So, but me being slow... I didn't come here. I didn't go to the council and say, "Listen, can I rent the space?" I went elsewhere looking for a bigger space, and I got rejected by most landlords. And I was like,
heartbroken. And then the same friend, like the friend, her name's Anna Brisley. The last letter from the agent, I got it that evening, and literally I dropped Hannah off at the dance class, and I was like literally crying all day. And my friend, obviously we've been friends for a long time, and my friend saw me, she's like, Winnie, what's happened? Like, you know, I look so devastated. And I said, what happened? I said, I've been let down. One of the agents doesn't want to give me the shop. She's like, but Winnie, why don't you try the pop-up shop? It's up for rent. I'm like, oh yeah, but so anyway, so I went back to the council, applied for the shop, and got given to me. So yeah. So I've been here since eleventh of April 2007. I've been in here, and I'm just due to renew it.
That's amazing.
It is, right? So I know, incredible. It's fate. I really believe in fate. It was just like, and I keep going everywhere looking for other shops. Well, this one's meant to be mine. So yeah, so I got it.
Incredible.
I know, right? Only because of my big mouth daughter. She still takes the credit until today. So, Mom, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have that shop. And I actually think, had I gone, because I don't even think Kendall was in my radar. I was actually looking at Windermere, and people of Kendall have just embraced me. So, yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah. It's really changed my life.
That's nice. I was going to say, having sat in here for like not even an afternoon, but it just feels like there's such a strong community.
It is. And everybody sends, you know, it's like somebody will come and shop in, and, you know, they'll send their daughter or they send somebody else. Or, you know, they'll be wearing it and they'll say, oh, where did you get it from? Oh, I got it from my Love Me Boss. And it's like, oh, I never go in there. Then go in there. So, yeah, it's been really nice. Word of mouth, anybody, you know, word of mouth has been really good for me. So, yeah, it has changed my mind. I work hard. I work six days a week, you know. I work hard, but I think in life you have to. You know, you have to put the work in. Otherwise, you know. But, yeah, I work hard, and then I guess I see the reward. 3 years, and I'm literally ready to renew.
Do you find it quite easy to stick to, like, shop hours for working, or do you find that you slip over?
No, I have to say, my customer will tell you, I'm a bit naughty at times. Well, like, I thought, oh, it's going to be quiet, I can go home now. And 3 o'clock, I'm shut, and then I get an email, Winnie, I came at, you know, 3:15, you were gone. It's gone quiet. I thought I could go home.
That's so funny, because I thought you were going to tell me, oh no, sometimes I stay late and I work in the evenings.
No, I was telling James about this. Like, I'm actually thinking, maybe I should have another day off so I can just complete all my hours, because sometimes I get exhausted and just go home and think that nobody's gonna come, and yeah, people come after when I'm gone.
Maybe you need a shop help one day a week.
Yes, but the problem with that, Frankie, is every time I've employed somebody, it hasn't worked. Like, it hasn't worked. People come looking for Winnie, and they are met by somebody else. Like, I guess they like my warmth, I guess. Blowing my own trumpet.
You shouldn't be such a vibrant, loud person.
Like, I know.
Why are you so joyous and energetic?
I know. I think, I don't know. So, yeah, it's a joy. I just love being here. I literally love being here. It's just, it's a happy place. It's, you know, I'm lucky enough that, you know, my life, I've got a home that makes me happy, and work that makes me happy, and, you know. And I think also I couldn't have done this without my customers. Like, literally, you know, I couldn't have done it on my own. It's everybody's input. You know, they've, you know, invested in me and they want me to succeed. You know, that, you know, I have to be grateful for.
Yeah. And talk to me about the outdoors. What's your thing?
Heaven. Outdoors is heaven. It's outdoors. Oh, my gosh. How do I talk to you about my outdoors? Well, I love being outdoors. I grew up in the outdoors. Back in Africa, you know, when we were little, you know, we played outside. We didn't have toys. We didn't have, you know, gadgets like kids these days. You know, we played outside, climbed trees and played with mud, played with water, whatever you could find. You played. You just played outside. So
obviously, coming to England, I wanted to make sure to, you know, I mean, now that I'm in the lakes, obviously living in Manchester was a bit different. But since I've, you know, since I've moved to the lake, I've just re-embraced. It's like, you know, re-embrace what I grew up in. So, I mean, different aspect. But I just love being, you know, in the outdoor. It's free. You know, I think everybody should be outside. Fresh air is therapeutic. It's good for the mind. You know, especially when you've had a long day at work. You just want to get out. Or for me, sometimes mornings, I like morning exercise, you know. Go for a swim first thing in the morning and then make my way to work. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've got like an injection of some steroids. I don't know. Every time I swim, I feel like, you know, I get such a buzz. I get such a, that's the scientific word. What does it say? Endorphin? What the word?
Endorphin.
That's it, yeah. You know, if I have it, like in the morning, when I have my swim in the morning and then I'm ready for the day. So, yeah, and then evenings, you know, also evenings, if I have a swim or a walk or a little run, I think everybody needs to make an effort to be outside. That's like, I don't know how I can scream it. And also I'd like more people, more black people, you know, to be outside and exercise and appreciate the outdoors. You know, yeah, I think it's good for you. I think the more we are outside, the more we exercise, it's good for your health. And I think I want to grow up older, healthier, I'd be happier if I grew up older and healthier. I think that's the happiest I'll be if I'm, you know, fit. And I think I will embrace old age better as I keep exercising. Mm. So I think it's good for you. I'm quite blessed because my family has introduced me to exercise from a really young age. I mean, back then I didn't know it was exercise. You know, I didn't know it was exercise. I just knew that, you know, you have to get out. You have to be out there, you know. I used to climb anything, any trees, mango trees, whatever. I used to climb. Yeah, I used to love climbing.
Amazing. And then how did you start swimming?
Swimming. Oh, my goodness. Swimming. It's a bit of a long story.
Okay. They're my favourite kind of stories.
Well, basically, I don't know if you know Congo. We live by the sea. Back home, we live by the sea. But we didn't know. We were not allowed to go in the sea. We were not, because we didn't know how to swim. And then our parents, like, if they heard you were anywhere near the sea, you get a proper smack, because people die of going in the sea, because obviously you can't swim, you go in the sea, you die. So there was this fear put in us of water. So for me, I always, you know, you watch movies, you know, I had this fantasy of Europe, you know. So I'm thinking, oh, you know, when I go to Europe, you know, I'm going to have babies and all my babies going to be swimming, they're going to be in the pools. And literally, that's what I did. So when I came to England, I had my girls in England. I made sure that they learn how to swim. So I paid for the swimming lessons. But what I also did, like, most weekend we'll be in the pool. They'll have a swimming lesson during the week, but most weekend we'll be somewhere in the pool, you know, like practicing. And also I've been like self-teaching myself. And then when they learned to swim, when they could properly swim, I said, it's your turn to teach mommy. And that's how it went. So every time we go to the pools, we'll make sure that I was, you know, they were teaching me what to do. So a few summer back, I thought, I can actually swim now. And then we were having a summer in France. I've got family in France. And we were having this summer in France, and the kids were going in the deep pool, like jumping. How do you call it when you jump in?
Like diving.
Like diving. And I thought to myself, my goodness, I can swim now, but I can't dive. And I thought, oh, it would be nice to dive with the girls, because the girls, like, left me. Because when I was little, my eldest, Melissa, could go and dive, and I'll hang on to Hannah. But all of a sudden, Hannah's grown up, and she's diving as well. And I'm, like, sitting there. And we spend most of our summers, like, we bike, and then we go to the pool. And then I went to the instructor, I said, listen, sir, I said, I can swim, but I don't think I can dive. You know, he's like, oh, okay. Are you sure you can swim? I said, yes. So, he made me do a few laps in the deep pool.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you can swim. He said, then dive. I said, I'm scared. I'm going to die. He's like, okay. So he gave me like a stick. He's like, okay, let's go in a big, in the other side, the deep end. He said, I'm going to put the stick down. So you jump. And if you're struggling, just hang on to the stick and that pull you out. But if you're not struggling, just bring yourself up. I said, okay. And as I was going to do this jump, my daughter said, Mommy, when you jump, all you have to do is blow bubbles. I said, okay. When you blow bubbles, it's going to bring your body up. I thought, oh, okay. So I go in the deep end. There's the instructor guy. We're holding the stick. And now by this time I had like everybody watching me. I'm like, literally. And I'm like, so I jump in. And I'm underwater and I'm staring at this stick. And I remember my daughter saying, Mom, just blow bubbles. And I'm looking at the stick. I was like, I'm not going to hold this stick. I'm going to blow bubbles. So I blew bubbles and then I came out. I'm like, I can swim. But and my daughter was like, it was just one of the most, like, the happiest time. And then I'm like, okay, so when I go back home, for me to make sure to know that I can swim, I need to go in the lake. So I think that was, so I went back and I don't know the event sequence of event. But anyway, one day I went to the lake and I managed to swim in the lake. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't die. So I'm like, whoa, you know, I actually didn't die. But I wasn't far. I thought to myself, hey, yeah, I came back, I bought wetsuit for all of us, you know, so we were swimming in the lake, but not going too far. And then one day, one of my friends has a boat. I said, for me to know that I can properly swim, I'd like you to take me a bit deeper in the lake and you leave me there and I'll swim to shore.
I know. That's so brave.
I know, right? Anyway, so they got me in the boat or dinghy or whatever you call it. But we got in this boat and then they said, okay, how about here? I said, and I can see people over there. I said, yeah, I think you can jump here. I can jump off here. So I jumped. And then I'm swimming. I'm like, oh, shit, this is a bit far.
Literally. And when you're swimming, it just doesn't get any closer.
Yeah, and I was scared. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It got me scared. I'm like, oh, this was a bit far. But, you know, I managed to get to shore and I didn't tell them the story how scared I was. And then I thought swimming was just summertime. I thought, that's it. Like, literally, I thought swimming was just summertime when the sun is out, put your wetsuit on and then swim. And then I'll be, you know, literally running and I'll see, as winter was approaching, I noticed a few friends like, swimming wintertime. I'm like, that's not for black people. Just keep running. Yeah, I'm like, you can't do that. It's too cold. Just keep running. And I carried on, like, just running. But having this, gosh, that is so brave. Like, you know, seeing people early in the morning swimming in the cold. And I'm like, that is not possible. You can't do that. And I just, in my head, like, you get those, you know, those walls you put. You just feel like, I can't do that. So I just, yeah. And then eventually I got talking to a few girls and then my friend Anna was doing it as well. I'm like, no, it's not for black people. Black people don't swim in cold weather. I mean, black people, we don't generally swim anywhere. So I'm lucky enough to swim. Just stick to swimming summertime. And I thought that was it. So I limited myself. And then I met Gilly. I don't remember the sequence of event. And then I met Gilly and I saw Gilly's, you know, doing it with ice. I'm like, this woman's crazy. You know. And then there was one day, I don't know if it was summertime, I can't remember when it was, I was having a swim. And I'm like, oh, I'll take you one day. I'm like, no, you won't, it's too cold. She's like, we'll go one day. And then one morning we ended up in the lake and I had gloves on and my wetsuit on and had my shoes on and then Gilly, you know, took my hand and we went in. And I'm like, Gilly, I'm gonna die. And then all I could hear, Gilly saying something about science, it's been scientifically proven or whatever. All I could, you know, hang on to was science. I said, okay,
she used the word science, so maybe you're not gonna die. It was cold. I'm like, Gilly, I'm gonna die. I'm getting out of here. She's like, just 90 seconds, Winnie. Just 90 seconds. So I stayed here for 90 seconds. And then she's like, okay, you can get out again. And then when I got out, I felt this, oh, I'm not dead. Literally, I'm like, I felt this, the coldness, like, I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to have another go. So she's like, are you coming back in? I said, yeah. So I had another dip. I'm like, no, it's too cold. It's too cold. But yeah, that was the beginning.
Amazing. And so now do you swim in winter?
I've just done my first winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've swum all of winter.
All of winter.
All of winter. Amazing. So this is going to be my second winter. And honestly, it has just changed my life. It's just like, for years, I've always suffered from depression, especially around winter time. And my doctor said, oh, you know, because of with African skin, growing up in Africa, we're used to the sun. So my doctor think it was just because I was lacking the sun and things like that. So winter time, I always get a bit, I'm going to start getting down again. And your adrenaline this winter was like, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm going for a swim. And I've not, touch wood, I've not had that bound of depression for this winter. As I say, touch wood, I hope I'm not talking too soon. I hope I don't jinx myself. But this was my first, I left home in 1997. And this winter was my first break where I felt like, fine, all winter long.
Wow.
Yeah, because 7 o'clock, I'll be by the lake in the dark swimming. So yeah, it's been really good for my mind. It's been absolutely amazing for my mind. And I can only say it's winter, the swimming in winter, as you know, I've done it. Going to bed, I knew I was doing something in the morning. I was going to get out of bed. Because the struggle was in the morning, just getting out. But that's when you do the winning. Just get out and then just go out.
That's amazing.
You think so?
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And I've just swum. So Gilly is my swimming hero. She is. And I honestly love that woman so much.
So what's the coldest that you've swum in? How cold did it get?
5 degrees, apparently. Yeah. 5 degrees, yeah. So I literally, and it was exciting because I got up super early, put the water in the kettle and put it in them because I noticed, because I used to get really cold after the swim. I mean, they're not long swims. They're just like, you know, short swims. But I noticed Faye, one of my wonderful wild woman protégé, one day she had like a bucket with hot water in it. I'm like, wow, I like that idea. So I bought this bucket. So boil some water and then I get to the lake and you had the bucket ready. So when I come out, I just put some water from the flask inside the bucket. I soak my feet in, I soak my hand in, and I'm good to go. I know. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That is smart.
Well, that was Faye. That was on me. I stole an idea from Faye. Please put it in there, Faye. That was idea. Faye. I saw Faye doing it. I'm like, I'm pitching that idea. So, yeah.
What advice would you give to someone else that was, like, looking to get into swimming?
I would say, and another one that somebody said, and this is not for me. Basically, for me, it's just get up and do it. And I remember one morning I was like, oh, it's cold. And this calf said, she said, Winnie, once you're in, it's a win. And I'm like, wow, I wish I made that up. But yeah, it's literally, once you're in, it's a win. But it doesn't have to be with swimming. It's whatever you do, once you get in to do it, you've won, you're there, you've won, you know, something, even if it's just 5 minute walk, even if it's 5 minute, you know, whatever cycle, we just have to get out and do. That's what I believe. It makes us happier after. I think so. I truly believe so.
And can you talk to me about your van?
Oh my God. Oh, am I allowed to clap my hands?
Sorry. My van, oh my gosh. The van life, oh my gosh, is amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I got my van and we went to Scotland. And now I know Scotland is not in England, Gilly. I know now. I got in trouble, Gilly. I now know that Scotland is not in England. Yeah, we did a lot of swimming. So we got in a van, got our blanket, our cookers and, yeah, everything to keep us warm. And we drove around Scotland. It was unbelievable. I'm like, I wish I started this younger.
I was going to say, I mean, I know, but for people that don't know, when did you get it?
I got it last month. And straight away, like within 2 weeks. Got, you know, packed it up and then drove to Scotland. And it's like a new world. It's like, what? You don't have to fly to have this fun? I thought you had to, you know, get to Paris or Spain to have this fun. But no, we were by the beach. Like, you know, you park somewhere and in the morning you wake up to sunrise. We cook some food. It was cheap as well. It wasn't even expensive. You know, we packed a lot of food. I think we went to the supermarket, what? Once. Yeah, we went to the supermarket once. So, yeah, it was unbelievable. And I want to do more. I want to do more with the van. And I think if you've got the spare cash, I would say go for it. Because you're going to discover. Because to me, in my head, I was just for England, the prettiest part of England was the lakes. Well, obviously, it's not.
Quite a pretty part. So, yeah, we'll let you have that one.
Yeah. It's, you know, for me, this, I thought the Lake District was the most beautiful place.
Do you feel like you've always had a clear path or a clear sense of direction through life?
No. Oh, God, no. Oh, goodness, no. I tell you, like, no, not at all. Like, you know, it was a hard start because I was not academic. So, not at all. I literally, like, I had to find my way. I think even now, I still don't think it's like a clear path, but yeah, I've had to find my way. You know, I've had to hustle and, you know, create a path, basically. Yeah, I think, you know, you have to create your own path. And I think that's what I've done. But no, I didn't always know. Like, literally. I was even 35. I was like, really, like, I knew I needed a career, but I just didn't know in what. And my sister has always told me, like, you know, you're really fashionable. You really know fashion. Many years ago, and I'm like, until when I start selling clothes, that I'm like, oh, she was right. You know, but yeah, I've had to, you know, obviously I was a single mother raising two kids and, you know, I was on benefit, and you're like, gosh, this is hard life. It was really tough, but I knew, you know, I had to do something with my life, but I didn't always know, not at all. Yeah.
And how do you think your journey has shaped who you are now?
I think life makes you. I think when you go through things in life, it just shapes you as well, I think. You know, I always used to say, oh, you know, life is so hard. But because life was so hard and so tough that I am the person I am now, I don't think if I didn't go through the stuff, I would be where I am. So, you know, I, as much as it was hard and heartbreaking and all the stuff, I wouldn't say I'm happy, I'm pleased it happened to me. No, not at all. But I think I am the person I am now because of everything that happened to me.
Sometimes in life I feel a little bit like I might be like going against the grain, like, you know, I work freelance, I do these random adventures,
yeah,
live in a van sometimes, like it just feels like there might be a grain going one way and I'm
going the other,
not doing it. Is that something you've ever felt?
I mean, because whatever you do in life, it's not always gonna work out. You have to fall and fall again and get up. As long as, you know, if you go that way, it doesn't work, you go the other way until you find where you are supposed to be. I think that's, you know, for me, that's how I feel like. But you have to try things in life. Until you try, you're not going to know. So whatever is thrown at you, you just have to keep hammering and hammering until you find your happy place, until you find that a happy career, the happy, you know, the happy home. You just have to keep looking and working at it. I think, you have to hustle life. You know, you have to work at life. You can't just sit and expect everything to fall from the sky. I think, the work you put in, the experience, and whatever, even if it doesn't work out, you learn something. You take whatever you learn, you always move it on to a different experience. That's what I think. I don't know if I've answered your question, Frankie. Sorry.
No, I think, the last thing you said about what you take from your experiences, I think that's so true. And I think sometimes, like, what you learn from, like, swimming or, like, getting into the cold water, you then use in life. And then what you learn in life, you then...
Yeah, I think everything is connected. I really believe every single thing is connected. Yeah.
What's one thing that you know about yourself now that you wish you'd known sooner?
That I was beautiful. Yeah. I wish I knew that I was beautiful, that I was enough. That, yeah, it's taken a long time. And, you know, my shop's called I Love Me Most, and people think it's what's the word the lady came here and said? She said she felt it was narcissistic. And I'm like, I just wish that people can just know that it's okay to love you first. It's not at all selfish. You're beautiful. You all these things. You just have to love yourself, you know. Yeah, I wish I knew. And I wish I gave myself love when I was growing up. I don't think, you know, I thought I loved myself enough. And now, you know, I feel like I'm beautiful. I love this body. I love this person that I am. I never used to have mirrors. Like, you come to my house, like, now I've got mirrors everywhere. I never used to take pictures. I never used to, like, growing up, it would be hard to find a picture of me because I thought I was so ugly. Yeah, I used to hide, like, and I mean, obviously, we didn't have lots of cameras around, but when the camera came later on, but I will hide, and now my boyfriend's a photographer. I know, right? I know, can you believe it?
There's no hiding now.
Exactly, yeah. I used to hate mirrors, and I used to hate, you know, like, sometimes I manage to get a picture and I look at my picture, I just rip it up. But it's taken a long time. Yeah, it's taken a long time.
How? Like, yeah. What do you think it was that helped you get there?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I know, sorry, that was also a tangent question.
Yeah, no, I think it's... I've worked a lot on me, you know. Yeah, I've worked a lot on myself. But also, and growing up as well, you know, growing up, I got called names, you know. I got called, you know, names, this and that. I just, you believe those things when you're little. You believe that, oh, you're ugly and this and that. You know, your nose is too big, your skin is... too dark and all this. You believe those things. But yeah, it took a long time for me to say, oh, actually, I don't mind this nose. I don't mind the skin, I mean, you know. But it's taken a long time. But yeah, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy in the skin that I am. The number one approval is my approval. So, you know, I think we have to be careful with people's approvals as well. Like, looking out for people to emphasize that we are beautiful. I think we have to, you know, it's about yourself. Say, I'm beautiful. Look at that mirror, say, I'm beautiful. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I think it leads on really nicely to my next question.
Go on.
I've been asking everybody about authenticity, about your authentic self.
Yeah.
I just feel like my 20s is just this, like, random journey of, like, trying to find out who I am.
Oh, my gosh, I tell you, if I can go back to my 20, honestly, I would just tell my 20-year-old, like...
Yeah, please tell me.
Everything's going to be all right. Seriously. Stop messing. Stop stressing with small things. Like, literally. Because everything, like Bob Marley said, everything is fine. You are fine. You are absolutely fine where you are. That's where you're supposed to be. That's what I would say my 20, you know, my 24. How old are you again?
27.
27. So young. Jesus. Honestly, so young, like, literally, do not stress, Frankie. That's what I would say. You'll be fine, honestly, and look forward to being 40. It's fabulous.
No, my mum said that her 30s were the most amazing time of her life.
Yeah.
And so then, like, a lot of people in my peer group are like, oh, getting close to 30, yeah. Oh, terrible. And I'm like, my mum told me it was going to be the best time of my life, so I am ready for it.
Yes! Yeah.
What do you think authenticity means, or authentic self? What do you think it means?
I think it's just being true to yourself. You know, if you don't fancy doing that thing, don't do it. Don't force things. I don't force things in life. If you feel like having that cake, have that cake. And don't feel guilty afterwards. Love yourself enough to just be without having to impress such and such. Just get out when you have to. You want to get out. Don't just do things, you know, to please people. Do it from the heart. I think when you do things from the heart, do what feels right in your heart first before just jumping into doing whatever.
I love that. I want to write that whole answer down as like an Instagram quote. Like,
you think so?
And what do you
I think so.
What do you think bravery is?
That's a hard one. I thought when I think about bravery, I think about facing things. That's what bravery to me is, when you just have to face reality. And when you're facing that reality and deciding what decision to take.
Would you describe yourself as brave?
Gosh, I've almost swore.
That's okay, you can swear, we can cut it out. Or leave it in. We'll give it a PG rating.
I think I've had to be brave. I've had to face situations where you just have to be brave. You just have to face that situation. You just have to leave it for some time. For how long, you know, you have to be brave, you don't know. Depend on where you are. But, yeah, I've considered myself brave. I think, I don't know if it's bravery, but I've overcome. You know, I feel like I've overcome. Because of bravery, I guess, an overcomer.
And what do you think happiness feels like?
This! Sorry! I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think happiness is, for me, is happiness is knowing, you know, sometimes I feel sad for being so happy because I know there's so much sadness in the world, because I know I've been to a place where I was so sad. But it doesn't mean that I don't get sad. I'm happy because, you know, life's great. But it doesn't mean I don't get sad. I still get sadness. I still feel, you know, because especially for me, like, I'm African. You see things happening back in Africa. And, you know, I'm in England. This was like my dream destination. You know, I've got a business. I'm running a business. I'm healthy. I've got two healthy kids. Because sometimes it's in your face. You see how people are suffering and, you know, you just don't know how to help.
It can be overwhelming.
Yeah. You're just happy. Yeah, so much. You know, I'm happy where I am. I'm really like, I'm happy where I am. I just embrace, you know, where I am, and I'm pleased things have panned out. So I think that to me doesn't mean that this is it, you know. You know, I'm always one of those people, oh, I'm too happy. Should I stop, you know? Is something going to come and, you know, a van going to come and whack me?
Do you ever do that thing where you walk in somewhere really, really happy and you're like, oh, hi, everyone. And then you realise that something sad has actually happened and everyone else is like. Oh. And you're just like.
Oh, I know, right? That's like something I'll do.
That has happened more times than I can count.
That happens to me as well. Oh, sometimes I have like some customers like, oh, hey, how are you? You know,
retreat. Yeah.
I've just crushed my car. I'm not. So,
I mean, to be fair, if something happened to my car, this is the first place I'd come.
But look, I had this is like a different conversation. This is why I love my job, right? I had a lady, right, who came in the shop. Her husband gave her money. Because they were doing the bathroom or something, and she was getting on top of him. And she's like, gave him the card or money, whatever. She said, oh, he said, go to Winnie's. She'll cheer you up. Go shop. And I'm like, what? To me? So what, yeah, things like that. You hear, you're like, it's not done bad, hey?
Amazing. I've asked everyone that I've interviewed if they see themselves represented in outdoors media. So whether that's like adventure films or books or guidebooks.
I think we need more black people. We want to see more black people outdoors. And I also feel like I don't know how to start this, but I'd like to help ethnicities get out and, you know, because sometimes I have to say, I know I'm going back to Gillies, but there was a day I was swimming and Gilly had, I don't know if she probably know this story, but there was a group of them swimming and I was on my own. I was swimming on my own and she left, I think that's the first time we met. She left the group of people that she was swimming with and came to say hello to Alona. And I remember thinking, wow, that is amazing. Like, imagine if there's a gang of you. How many, you know, there's a group of you. How many times do you go say hello to the lone person?
She is so brave. And I'd really like to think that I would, but I know I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Know myself.
So that's what I do as well now. So now, since she did that to me, I make an effort. When I see a lone person swimming, I make sure to say hello. And so going back to, I think people need to be more welcoming. Like you see, you know, it doesn't have to be a black person, but I think in these communities of sport, outdoorsy, people need to be aware of welcoming. Because to me, I felt her spirit, like it was just giving me a hand, like that meeting, I just felt her spirit like, welcome, you belong, you know, we don't stare at you because of this and that. I think people need to be welcoming. I'd like to see diversity, you know, in sport, you know, in the outdoors. I want more people. It doesn't have to be black people, Asian, you know, to be out there and appreciate the outdoors. It's free. Yeah, I'd like to see more, you know, gay, lesbian, everybody out there enjoying the outdoors because it's good for us. It's really good for us. I think we have our best sleep when we go out and explore, isn't it?
Amazing. Thank you so much. No, that's amazing. And I really love that you gave some like such solid advice that like you don't have to do like loads and loads of huge things. Just going and saying hello to someone.
It helps. For me, there was a group of them and she left that group to come and say hello. And she's like, oh, you want to come and swim with us? I'm like, no. They all look so handsome. I didn't have a boyfriend back then. So welcoming. I think, you know, you see that lone person, go there and extend a welcoming hand. I think that's really important. We need to see everybody enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, even the elderly, you know. Even the elderly, I feel like, you know, get them more out because everybody needs to go out. Everybody needs to be out and enjoy, you know, the fresh air.
I agree so much. I've just got two more questions for you.
Keep them coming.
So do you have any female role models or women who inspire you?
For me, it was my grandma. Sorry.
No, I love stories of people's grandma.
To me, it was my grandma. Unfortunately, she's not with us anymore. But she was a feisty woman. She, you know, as I say, I'm Congolese, and back in Africa, there was no divorce. There was no leaving your husband, but she was with a dude who was drinking too much, and she's like, I'm not having this. So she left, and, you know, yeah, she left, and she was a feisty woman, and she was a businesswoman as well. Like, in Africa, it was all the men earn the keep, or the man is the head of the household. Yeah, that's fine. But she was like, this man's, you know, I need to work. So she had fields of cane sugar, and she used to make wine out of cane sugar. And she was a feisty woman. And for back then, there wasn't women doing business, but she was a businesswoman. And she would just work. And if you come in her where she was, she just found a job for you. She didn't like lazy people. So my dad was the same. So my dad taught us that you have to hustle. Like literally, she was my, she was my role model. She was amazing. So yeah, and then she met a lovely guy that they were together until she passed. So yeah, she was an amazing lady. Very. And then I was quite blessed because my dad named me after her. So I knew, you know, I knew, like, whatever I do, I need to make this name proud, you know. So, yeah, she was a feisty and everybody knew her where we were from, like. But she was, you know, again, she would have the cash, but she didn't hand it to my dad. She's like, no, go work. Go find yourself. And, yeah, and my dad has, luckily he's gone and made himself as well. And my dad done the same for me. He's like, no, go find yourself. Like, nobody's handing you anything. You know, there's some small hand up here and there, you know. But, yeah, like working, you know, you have to work in life. You have to be out there. You have to search. It's only by searching that you'll find.
And last one is, what's one piece of advice that you'd give to your younger self?
Stop worrying. I used to be such a worrier. I used to worry so much. Yeah, stop worrying. I used to worry so much. Like, literally, like, I still worry, but I think I would worry less had I known, you know, that in the end, life's going to be all right. Whatever, don't give up. Everything's going to be all right. Never give up. Yeah. Stop worrying.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like me to ask you? Is there anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't talked about, or anything you want to plug that we haven't already plugged?
My shop! Oh, my Insta, please. Please like my Insta, Winnie Poati. You tag me, the one.
Yeah, I'll tag you for sure.
Yeah. My shop. Yeah, I absolutely love this place. It's really, honestly, it's my happy place. I'm blessed that I've got a lot of happy places. You know, I'm really, really, yeah. Another thing, you know, yeah, I'm really fortunate. I'm really, really fortunate, you know, to be, you know. Yeah, I'm so fortunate. I'm grateful. Yeah.
I love the atmosphere in here. It's so good. Like, when you were like, do you want to come back and do it at the shop? I was like, yes! Thank you so much for listening. What an incredible conversation that was. Winnie has some amazing stories and infectious energy. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did. Next time, I'll be parked up in a van chatting to Sarah Gerrish from Wonderful Wild Women. I can't wait to see you there. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone who you know will love it too. You can also join us over on socials. Find us at Extraordinary Ordinary You. We'd love it if you could give us a like and a follow. It really helps to grow the podcast. With so much thanks to our Patreon supporters, your support helps to cover the costs of the podcast and helps us to keep going and keep growing. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, keep on being extraordinary.
And thank you. Honestly, I'm so, like, honoured, like, you chose to come and see me, like, seriously.
I mean, no, thank you for having me. Like, I feel so lucky that I get to go and just talk to incredible people.
I know.
And then, like you said, it's like if I could go tell my 20-year-old self something, and I'm like, I really want everyone to tell me what they wish they told their 20-year-old self, like, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Just stop worrying. There's nothing to worry about.